Let's go in our Bibles now to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. We're going to talk about something this evening that I think all of us struggle with at times. We struggle with it when we're on the road with reputation longer than we want to be. We struggle with it. You struggle with it when something comes up in work that you didn't expect. There's a Bible verse that says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." What we're going to talk about this evening is discouragement. Discouragement. Every one of us faces it. Now, we're going to look in a passage where a man of God, a very, very godly man, was discouraged. Almost to the point of depression, you'd say. And he's very, very low. And we're going to look at just a couple things about that. We're going to look at how discouraged he was, why he was discouraged, or what circumstances led up to that. Then how he was actually able to get out of that path of discouragement. Joshua chapter 7 verse 6 says, "And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, 'Alas, O Lord, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Ammonites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their back before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?'" First of all, let's look at this discouragement of Joshua. What does the Lord say in the next verses? "And the Lord says unto Joshua, Get thee up! Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face?" Okay, I have 5 kids. Okay, I imagine God looking down as a father upon his son, like I sometimes look down upon my son when we're trudging around in the snow, or we're going up and down the sledding hill, and he's tired. And he has just had enough of it, and he slips, and he falls down, and he lays there on his face, and I say, "Get up, come on, keep on going, we can go up this hill." And he just, "No, I can't do it, I'm laying here, I'm crying. Pick me up, carry me, get me to the top of the sledding hill, get me home, my feet are tired." Even today at the zoo, one of my youngest daughter, her legs are about this long, and she walked around for 6 hours today. By the end of it, she's like, "I can't walk anymore." And she might just fall down in a fit of discouragement because she's so tired and worn out. And that's where Joshua is at right now. He has had a really rough day. And he is really, really upset. And God says to him, "Get up. Why are you lying there on your face?" You know, sometimes we get to that same spot in our life with the circumstances of life. We're just worn out and beat up. We're tired. And we're wondering why we're doing this. Or is this worth it all? Is following Christ rewarding? Are we on the right path? And that kind of discouragement comes to all of us at times. And you may say, "Well, that doesn't really happen to me. I'm a mature Christian. I'm a mature believer. I don't get discouraged like that anymore." Maybe a new believer. Joshua was no new believer. Joshua was a great man of God, and yet he here is laying on his face, very upset and not wanting to go any further. He is a discouraged man. And we look at this discouragement in verse 6. "And Joshua rent his clothes." He's in mourning. He's in a state of absolute sorrow. His heart is broken. And he's laying on his face before the ark of the Lord until eventide. He and the elders of Israel, all these men are upset and they've got dust on their heads and they've rent their clothes and they're obviously mourning. And in his mourning, Joshua begins to do what we do. He begins to doubt God's plan. He says, "Alas, O Lord, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Ammonites to destroy us?" Joshua knew very clearly why God had brought him into the land of Canaan. God had brought Joshua into the land of Canaan to be victorious, to overrun the land, to take possession for the nation of Israel, the land that God had promised to them. And now Joshua is discouraged. And he says, What's gone wrong here? This isn't working out the way I thought it was going to work out. I'm not happy with my life right now. What are you doing, God? What is your plan here? And in his doubt of God's plan for his life, God's plan for Israel, his memory gets twisted, gets distorted. He says, would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. You know, when we're following God, and we've had some success following God with our life, and then something goes wrong, it's an easy temptation for us to look back at former times and say, wow, things were better back then, before I had gone so far with the Lord. You know, sometimes life seems as if it were better before I knew Christ as my Savior. I didn't have all of these same difficulties. Or maybe life was better before I actually started living a surrendered life for God. Maybe life was better before I was as committed to these things. Or have you ever had the day where, you know, you get up in the morning, you spend a special time of prayer and Bible reading with God, and then you go out the door and you're full of joy and full of the Lord's presence, and you go out and you have a horrible day. And you say to yourself, why did I even do that this morning? What was the point of that? God, you were supposed to help me and give me strength today. And yet, I blew it. Man, I acted wrong when the circumstances came up. I got angry. I got discouraged. I yelled. I did something that I did not want to do. And I promised you I would not do that this morning when I left. And I asked for your help. And now, what is going on here? Things were better before I even tried. And that's what Joshua is saying here. He says, you know, Lord, we should have just stayed on the other side of Jordan River. It was better back there. Before we got into your service, before we got working for you, things were better. Now, that's not true. 40 years they wandered around in the wilderness and died off. The children of Israel died off. And all during that time, you know what the people in Egypt were, of Israel were saying as they wandered around in the wilderness? They were saying, man, things are better back in Egypt. In Egypt. And they talked about the leeks and the onions and how good life was back there. But you know what they forgot about? They forgot about the taskmasters and the slavery and the whips and the making of bricks. They, you know, it's very often easy for us when we get discouraged to look back to a former time in our life which we think was better. And we forget all the heartache and all the reality of what life was like before we grew closer to Christ, before we started a relationship with Him, before we were saved, before we knew any victory at all. We look back and we say, man, things are better then. And the reality of the fact is, they weren't. They weren't better. They were worse. But we accentuate those things which seemed good and we forget about the victories which we have had with God. Joshua right here is totally not remembering what just happened in the previous chapter. He's not thinking about the fact of the walls of Jericho. He's just seen the power of God in a very unique way. The walls of Jericho have fallen down. And because he's discouraged, because he's in mourning, because he's in doubt of God's plan, because his memory is distorted and he's thinking only about the good things in the past and not the bad things, he is afraid. And he's afraid of future defeat. He says in verse 8, what shall I do when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. What wilt thou do unto thy great name? Joshua is fearful, not just for the Lord's name, I believe, but for himself. He's fearful because he has had victory before, and now he's facing defeat. And he says, if I try again, I'm just going to fail again. I'm just going to lose again. Have you ever had that before? Maybe you have a stronghold in your life, a sin, something that, you know, is a real temptation, a real Achilles heel for you, where you give it to the Lord and you say, Lord, I want you to help me with this today. And then you go about your business, you forget about the Lord's help, you forget about things, you go on autopilot, and then you fail. And you say to yourself, why do I even try? I'm just going to fail again. This thing, this sin that easily besets us, I'm just never going to get over it. It's never going to change. That's not the truth. The Lord is strong. The Lord does not desire you to live in a defeated state. He desires you to be victorious. And this is discouragement speaking. This is not based upon faith in God. This is based upon fear of self-failure and fear of inability and fear of God's goodness not being towards you. And I tell you, if you're a child of the Lord, His goodness is towards you. His plans for you are good. They're not bad. Things are better the longer you're with the Lord, the more you follow Him. They're not worse. They may be difficult at times. The apostles and prophets and many, many martyrs have died for the name of the Lord. But they would not tell you that things were worse because they knew the Lord. They would say that they were better. So, the discouragement of Joshua. Why was he discouraged? We haven't even gone over that in this chapter so far. Why was Joshua discouraged in the first place? Maybe you've already read back the first couple of verses. I know that I would have done that by now. Joshua chapter 7 verse 1 says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. Make not all the people to lament, to labor there, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. The men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shibarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Now that description there, the hearts of the people melted and became as water, that's what the Canaanites were supposed to feel. Not the Israelites. They weren't supposed to be the ones afraid. But now they're in fear and disorder. And why are they? Because they've been defeated. Let's look a little bit about the timing of the defeat. This defeat came when they least expected it. They had just beaten the city of Jericho, the stronghold on the Jordan River, the city which was the first defense of the Canaanites. And it was impregnable. And yet they walked around the city for several times, 7 days, one time each day for the first 6 days and 7 times for the last day. And they saw the power of God knock down the walls of Jericho, and the men went in and took care of everybody else in the city of Jericho and burned it and sacrificed everything to God. Well, they were supposed to sacrifice everything to God, as we know from the first one. They did not. But they had come off this, and they were thrilled. They were excited. Totally different than the first couple passages where we met. They're full of confidence. They are ready to go and just walk through the land of Canaan and take everything before them. Their defeat came at a time that they expected it the least of all. Sometimes that's when we're most susceptible to defeat. When we get to a point where we think, man, I have really got this figured out now. We are going to work forward victoriously from now on, and nothing's going to stop us. Well, you know what? That's great if you're believing that you're going to be following the Lord in every step along the way. But the problem is we often forget the reason that we got the victory, and we say, wow, I'm pretty good at this. And we go ahead in our own strength. We go ahead in our own ability, and we think, this is all me. I can take care of this. This problem is not going to... These problems that troubled me before, they're not going to trouble me anymore because I have got this beat. Rather than saying, wow, Lord, you really did something there, and I want you to do that again for me, and depending upon Him and following Him. And that's not at all what happens here. They just say, wow, there's a little city up there. They only have 2 to 3. They only have a couple men. Joshua, you know, we beat that city of Jericho. All the people had to walk around the city, and that was so tiring. Can't we just take 2 to 3,000 people up there and go wipe them out? Piece of cake. They were totally surprised when the men of Ai opened up the gates, attacked them, and the Israelites lost 36 men. Now, 36 men. Okay, battles, war battles, especially in those times, 36 men does not sound like a whole lot to me. Okay? I think, man, only 36 people, and Joshua is so discouraged. I mean, they just beat a whole city, and they lost, and they got chased from this city. Why are they so discouraged by 36 men being lost? Because they didn't think they were ever going to get beaten again. Because they thought that they were untouchable. And that was just not the fact. Because they went up without God. And that goes to the cause of the defeat. Why did they lose? Why did they actually go up and lose? And this is what Joshua was asking himself in verses 6 through 10. Why did we lose? How could this happen? How could we lose 36 men? And how could we be chased from the field? They were totally defeated, totally routed by this small city of Ai. And Joshua was discouraged and laying in the ground in the dust. And God says to him in verse 10, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Why are you lying on your face? There is a reason for this. Now, he says, Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken of the cursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. They turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the cursed thing from among you. So what is the reason that they were defeated? Well, they had sin in this situation. They had sin in the camp. There was the man Achan who had taken the accursed thing. And now Joshua had no idea that had happened. And I'm not going to say that if you have been defeated or discouraged tonight, it's because, well, you obviously have some deep, dark, secret sin that you are just not giving up and you're hiding from God and you can't expect to have victory until you surrender that to Him. I'm not going to say that. That might be the case, but that's not necessarily the case. But the reason, ultimately, that these people were defeated, these Israelites were defeated, because in verse 12, God wasn't with them. God wasn't with them. And that's why we are defeated at times. Because we leave God behind. Because we don't consult Him. Because when the moment of trial comes, we are caught off guard and not walking in the Spirit. You know, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That is a promise. If we're defeated, it's not God's fault. It's because we have not been consulting with Him. We have not been dwelling with Him. We have not been following Him. We've been on autopilot most of the time. And that's what I find in my own life. That when I fall, it's because I'm caught totally unawares of the attack. And I'm susceptible to falling because I'm alone. And that's where Joshua and his men went wrong. They were totally unaware of the possibility of defeat because they were in a mode. We're knocking these cities out now. We're going to take these cities out. Instead of, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, where would you have us to go? Lord, how would you have us to fight this battle? They weren't consulting Him. They were on autopilot. situation we get ourselves into all the time, isn't it? Where we just stuck there. We're defeated because God is not with us. And oftentimes, it's because we've not asked Him to go with us. Or because we've not made sure that He's with us. Or rather, more importantly, we've not made sure that we're with God. Sometimes we think that, God, You just come along with me. Instead of, Lord, we'll go where You want us to go. We'll do what You want us to do. So, what was the path for victory after Joshua was told to get up? He's told to deal with the sin. Go ahead and this needs to be taken care of. Perhaps there is something in your life that needs to be dealt with, taken care of, where maybe you're falling in one area and you're saying, I don't know why I keep on falling this area, but the reality is you're not surrendered in every area. And that's a problem. You need to get those things right. But verse 1 of chapter 8, the Lord said unto him, fear not. Chapter 8, verse 1, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of the war with thee and rise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people and his city and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst do to Jericho and her king. Which is what they thought they were going to do originally. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall you take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. The key to conquering discouragement is being willing to follow again. Being willing to say, Lord, okay, maybe I messed up. Yeah, you're right, Lord. You know what? The reason we didn't win, the reason that temptation tripped us up again, the reason that I failed was because I was doing this myself. I wasn't depending upon Your strength at that time. I wasn't living victoriously. I was living alone. I'm ready to follow You again, Lord. Forgive me for that. Now let's get back on track. And that's what God tells us to do. He says, get up! There's a reason you fall down. But once you've dealt with that reason, get back to work. It's not very loving or compassionate seeming. But that's the key to victory. The loving, the compassionate part is that God forgives us for forgetting Him. And He says, okay, you forgot me. Now I'm right here. Confess your sin. I am able to to cleanse and justify and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, forgive and justify and cleanse from all unrighteousness. And then we can move forward. And if you're here tonight and you're discouraged, if you're defeated, don't be discouraged. Just find out why you failed and get up again. And then go ahead and win. And we can win again. One defeat does not mean that you're never going to win again. Multiple defeats don't mean that you're never going to win again. You will win again when you're with the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for this honesty which You show us toward a man who we would esteem as more godly than any of us, I'm sure. And yet He suffered with great discouragement and great defeat. And yet, Lord, when You confronted him, You said, get up. Why are you lying on your face? Deal with the problem and move on. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to deal with the problem of not seeking Your face or not having You with us and get back to following You. Help us to see the victory that You promise when You are present and You are in control, when Your leading is followed. In Jesus' name, amen.